Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva News of Our Lives and Friends. Yes, it's our first show for 2013, and pretty much it's going to sound like all of our other shows from 2012. Nothing new going on, but I'm very excited because I'm in my comfy kitchen with my new laptop, and so far so good. Everything seems to be working, so I'm very thrilled about that. It doesn't take much to make me happy. So join us every day on the blog. DivaDaysOfOurLives.blogspot.com, and last few days I have been doing live tweets during the show. So if you're on Twitter from about 3 p.m. Eastern to 4 p.m. Eastern, I will try to live tweet every day. I think probably this coming Friday I probably won't be able to make it, but I'm going to try. It doesn't make the show more entertaining to me. I can sit there kind of make fun of things while it's going on live. And you can find me on Twitter at Diva Abdul. It's D-I-V-A-O-F-D-O-O-L. And you can also find us on Facebook. We have a friend page, Diva Days, and we have a fan page that you can like, Diva Days of Our Lives. And I'd like to thank everybody who has been liking our fan page the past couple weeks. We really appreciate it. We've had a lot of people liking us. And I'd like to give a shout-out to all the Ian Buchanan fans who started following us on Twitter, started tweeting to us on Twitter. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. We love hearing from you guys, too, the General Hospital fans. So, and also you can follow us here on Blog Talk Radio to be alerted to new shows. And if you happen to miss any of our shows live, you can download them. And if you download them on iTunes, make sure you agree to receive any updates or from the Diva Show on Blog Talk Radio, but you'll get them automatically. They won't miss the show. So tonight we have Anna here.
Hello.
And we have Miss Marianne.
Hi, everyone.
Hey. So before we forget, just like we did last year, we will pimp the Hapkas. And I'm sorry to announce that Bob Hapka has lost his title as our most listened to show ever. He lost it to Ian. Yes. That was our. It's still though our number one weekly podcast we've ever done. So
weekly,
he still has that
our
title. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest audience ever. That one goes to Ian Buchanan. That one's still growing. So thank you for all the days
yeah.
The General Hospital fans that listen to it. That one's still growing. We really appreciate it. So Bob's still number one in different areas. And you can follow him on Twitter at Bob Hapka and his wife at Amy Hapka. And I know you girls want to talk about Ian. So go right ahead. I'm going to screen a call and I'll be back. Go ahead and talk about Ian.
Marianne, you want to go
first?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it was like Carrie said, I guess it was our biggest live show. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, close to 1,900 live listeners, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if that's what it was or.
I don't remember.
It's growing or it's up there. It is the most live, and most callers, most popular show. And it was a lot of fun. Ian was very gracious enough to do our show, and he was just a hoot, really funny. I mean, he had me laugh and had me in tears. I don't know about you. But
oh, definitely. very entertaining.
It was very entertaining
and
learned a lot.
Again.
Oh,
I missed a lot of things.
Yes, and I don't know anybody that's listening and was on Twitter one night, I happened to go back and listen to it again, because I had, when you're, hosting and talking, and you do miss a lot, so I went back and listened to it again, and I did tweet about it that I had been listening to it again, and about how he made us laugh about his trifle, about making trifles, and returning the bowls and whatever, and I me and my typos, as everyone knows, and this got to be a big funny thing on Twitter. I don't know. I know Anna knows about this, but so I said something. I knew it as soon as I sent it. I said that I had told him that I had found the perfect bowl, but instead of putting bowl, I put bow, B-O-W-E-L-S. And I was on my phone, and I did that, and as soon as I said, oh, but then till I got back and deleted it, well, you know, these General Hospital fans were right on that, and it just went like crazy. Wildfire, mm-hmm. And Ian picked up on it, and he played right along with it, and it just turned out to be a whole lot of fun. In fact, they said it was the best time on Twitter, the most fun on Twitter that we had with Ian. So it turned out, and it all goes back to his story that he told us on the interview about making trifle and how hard it is to transport, and everybody loves his trifle, and he takes it to all these parties, and that he always wants people to bring. They have to bring the bowl back to him when they're done. They have to return it. So we kind of teased him that now he's going to get a lot of bowls, and, you know, we're going to send him, he's going to be getting sent a lot of bowls, and he's going to have to return them to us.
That's right.
So, yeah, that was the funny part. Yes. So,
And you can hear him saying in his head, "Oh crap!"
Jill that pointed out to it, and she said something. You know, you're going to get a lot of bowls now.
Mm-hmm.
And he laughed, and and when he heard that, if you listen to the interview, I mean, he was just laughing really hard. I think he realized what was going to happen. And he said, "Well, he'd make every effort to get them back to us." So, challenge is on. Now, so yeah. Anything else about the interview? I know he was teasing about Finola in her dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of coincides like with Lauren too. I think
he was saying that,
but I think Lauren is just like the same.
Yeah, they're very similar style wise and personality. And he said something like, "And we all know Lauren self admittedly is a little." Not, you know, a little messy sometimes, not,
messy.
You know, terribly.
And we
know,
think that Ian is not messy.
Yes,
and Ian is not messy.
Ian probably lives in a very ordered world.
I think so.
Nicely ordered world. And so I think he gets a kick out of Lauren and Zola on that. But he said, I think, you know, didn't you say something about, you know, Lauren would say, come on in, and you'd be like, where shall I sit? And he said, at least she would clear a place for me. Because no one would be like, you better
Finola,
move the muffins.
Yeah. Move your muffins.
Move your muffins.
Yes, and we all said, you know, we'd make room on the couch for him, you know, geez.
Oh, yeah. I'd make a lot of room. I'd clear a lot of space. But he was such a good sport. And so anybody listening to this that has not listened, I'm going to go back and listen to it again while I'm working out. Cause I iTunes, like Terry was saying, with iTunes you can listen. And I know Nicole, who's one of our Diva girls, she you know, she works out to the Diva.
While you're working out.
So it's a great idea on your iPod or your iPhone or whatever. But I'm going to listen to that one. I just hope I don't, like, start cracking up out loud on the treadmill because that could be embarrassing. But, yeah, it was a good time. I think everyone enjoyed it. And like Carrie said, too, it's nice to have – we're kind of the Diva of Duel and GH at this point, and it's great. It's, like, it's so nice that, you know, because of Ian and because of his great work on Days and the great work he's always done on GH back then and now that he's back – but it says a lot about him as a person because he's been really wonderful to the fans and, you know, really, you know, he's very patient with us. He's got a great sense of humor and plays along and just is just a joy. He's got a very joyful spirit about him. And so I think it's neat how the two fan bases have kind of come together, and it's just really been fun. And so, yeah.
Oh, there is a Nora started an Ian Buchanan fan group on Facebook.
Oh,
so
oh,
if you
good.
Want to join,
okay,
yeah, it's
cool.
An open, yeah, it's a fan, you know, one of his, a fan page, a fan group where you can go in. It's a Duke. It's really the Duke and, or about Duke. You know, it's a Duke Labor. Yeah. It's not Ian Buchanan, but
cool.
Duke and Anna fan page. So,
oh, cool.
And then also getting back to the trifle, he did post the recipe on his Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that? Yeah. Okay, he went in and posted it. It's on his Facebook page, the whole recipe for that, because
he told a funny story about Reese Witherspoon. Too,
oh yeah.
Marianne, you want to tell that part of the trifle story?
He went to a party with, you know, and he brought his famous trifle, and he was introduced to Reese Witherspoon. Oh, you know, this is the man that made the trifle. Well, she didn't recognize him as a fellow actor or whatever, and she thought he was like the caterer or whatever that made the trifle. And she wanted the recipe, and she wanted him to make it. I think was it for a baby shower?
She wanted to make three or four of them for a baby shower.
Yeah, and he looked at her and he says, "I'm an actor, not a trifle maker," you know. he was just the way he said it, and it was like really like, oh, you know, what does she think I am? Yeah, I'm not a tribal maker, I'm an actor. it was just funny. Just you have to hear him tell the story. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want a great laugh, or if you've listened to it a few times and you want more laughs, just listen to it again, because it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Marianne, you said that you miss a lot the first time around, especially with us hosting and everything. We're talking and listening to each other and everything, and everybody calling in. And it's like it's amazing how much you miss when it's a live show like that. So yeah, looking forward to doing that again.
And we had pretty many callers, and I think most people that wanted to talk to him got a chance to. And he was for an hour and a half. Now, he kept telling me I was the boss. He did tell me I was the boss, but I know he was hinting he needed to go to dinner because it was so cute. He comes, he says, "Marianne, are you still there, Marianne?" I said, "Yes." And he says, "Well, you know, it's 8:30 here." And I said, "Yes." And it's 11:30 here. And I said, "Do you want to go to dinner?" He says, "Whatever, if you want me for what, 2 hours, 3 hours on, you know."
Oh,
so, but we did leave him go. But I could have, you know, we could have kept him for a couple more hours. Yeah.
Maybe he wanted to be tied down. You never know, Marianne. You should have asked.
I don't know. Yeah.
That goes back
but
to
it was
Twitter
a lot
talk.
Of fun. Yes. Yeah, he was a bit naughty. A bit.
So even though we're sad that he's not on Days of Our Lives, we're so happy that General Hospital was smart enough to snatch him up when he was released from Days. And I gotta say, I mean, I know because we talk about GH on here too, and you and I know you and I are both behind on the show right now, but I gotta say they have done the perfect return for him and for Finola as far as they did what should have done with Tony and Anna when they first brought them back.
Mm-hmm.
They did
with
Finola or with Anna Duke and Anna.
Okay.
They should have done that with Tony and Anna on Days, and they didn't. We barely got any episodes once they did have their phenomenal return. It was like, you know, pulling teeth to get a Tana episode.
Yeah, they needed
that
their
was
own
frustrating.
Story,
I mean,
dramatic
Days,
story
Days,
like that.
Yeah, oh yeah. And so it's amazing the great. Oh, and one other thing about Ian's thing when we were talking about the phase on, phase off. That still cracks me up. I guess they just re-aired over New Year's. They just re-aired the melting face mask scenes.
Oh, yeah. He said that was one of his most challenging scenes, doing that.
Yeah, that had to have been
the melting.
Hard.
Mm-hmm.
That had to have been hard. That's weird. Oh. Kind of creepy, but, you know. Nevertheless, it was a good... They did a great job with that whole... with the whole story, and I'm looking forward to looking at the last couple weeks' episodes that I've kind of missed. I know they've replayed some repeats during some of the holidays, but so I probably have about a week and a half of it.
Well, he must be having more story come up because he says he has a lot of homework. When he says he has a lot of homework, does he mean like scripts, the study and stuff? So
good.
But he'll tweet everything homework, you know. So.
Well, I'm just glad they're giving him everything that he didn't get on Days. I mean, he and Lauren Coslow rocked, and they could have made so much more of the story that they were given. But unfortunately, with the push-pull between NBC and the writers and everything else, it's just a shame because I think Ian was ultimately named one of the most intriguing people in 2012 for, I don't know, in the soap world or whatever. I'm not sure what arena it was in, but I know I saw something on Twitter about people congratulating him on that. So So that's pretty cool, too. So, you know, it's like it was a loss for Kate on Dave, but, you know, a win for Anna on GH.
Well, we were talking about before the show about how we used to get callers. We have a caller. We have a new caller. I'm going to put on Amanda and see what she has to say on Days. Of course, now my dashboard's not working. I try it again. Okay, there we go. Amanda, welcome to the show. Hey.
How are you?
Good. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing really good, actually.
Great.
Enjoying to hear what you guys are talking about, Ian. I love Ian McCann. I've loved him since he first came out of General Hospital, God, almost 3 decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved him. The minute he came on, I just fell in love with the character.
Yeah, me too. I watched in the 80s as well, yeah.
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 I was just, we were introduced to it this year. I didn't really watch back then, but since he came to Days, I saw him on Days, and then I just started watching General Hospital. So, and trying to catch up on YouTube and trying to learn the history of Duke and Anna and stuff. But, yeah, really, really liking the character and the couple.
He's really great. Mm-hmm. I sometimes worry sometimes when they bring someone back after, like, 2 decades, you always think, are they really going to be able to play the character or how is it going to be or whatever. It's like he never left, which is very hard to do. You know?
Well, it was
really
intriguing,
like
too,
how they just picked
he
up.
Had to play this. Mm-hmm. He had to fool us for a while that he wasn't really playing, you know, we thought he was playing Duke, and he really wasn't at first.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine
he did a great job
thing.
Of, like...
Oh,
mm-hmm.
he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say this, that when I really had my doubts that it was even Duke at first, I'm like, he's no way would he, like, do that to Robin. No way in hell. He loves her like his daughter. I'm like, no. Something's going on here.
Yeah.
Like, unless something really bad happened to him where he was tortured in that prison in Turkey or something,
yeah.
There's no way Duke would do that. Not to her.
Right.
So, I didn't expect the whole mask thing. I went, what the hell?
I know.
I'm like,
I asked
they
him on some chat.
Yeah.
How creepy that was to see your face on his mask being thrown around the office, you know?
That's kind of been really weird. I couldn't imagine doing that. No. It's like, what the?
Yeah.
I know. And then I would find myself going, well, now he's got to take that mask off. Oh, wait. It's not really a mask. He's not really wearing it. That's really him. But he's playing.
That's really him being Faison and trying to be like Faison, but, you know, and not give any, you know, trying to be a little bit like Duke, but more like Faison. So, yeah, he, you know.
But wasn't that awesome, Amanda? The way he, when Duke came into the room, you know, when they were about to do the reveal, same around the same episodes, where you could just see it in his eyes that was really him. And it's like that, oh, he's just masterful. What a masterful actor. Just amazing.
The other thing I really loved about it is the actor who actually played Faison, Anders Hove, he always creeps me the hell out whenever he was on screen. And he's such a great actor. And like,
yes.
No, he's a great actor, too. Oh, yeah. He did a good job.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did. And I wasn't familiar with him from his first run. I don't remember, or at least I didn't remember him as such. But, he was really good.
Very good villain. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. See, and they brought back a lot of the classic soap things that we all love. What we grew up on in the late 70s, maybe 80s, you know, that kind of, these writers have managed to bring back so many of the good, these old characters that we loved and the stories and the conventions, the classic conventions of so they've updated it, but they've managed to bring that back. And I think that's what's drawn us in to the show, you know, and why it's so hard sometimes. I mean, not that Dave does everything wrong. They do some good things, but it's still rough when you're, you know, we're longtime Dave fans and, you know, and I'm a returning GH fan thanks to Ian, but it's like you watch the two of them now and you're like, oh, if only Dave could do X, Y, Z again, because it's like GH is doing it, you know, and they actually, they knew, I mean, And there's a difference, too, in how, I mean, they brought back these classic characters, and they're using them very frequently, but they're also integrating them into the other stories and everything. So as a viewer, you know, you're starting, you know, you start getting pulled in. You might, like, I just started watching for him and Finola, and pretty soon I'm watching, like, 90% of the show. And it's weird because with Dave, it's not, in my opinion, it's not working. I mean, I know some people like the Kristen return, and I'm not one of them, but
I think
my problem is she's on every single episode, but I don't feel like she's, I don't know, I just don't feel as connected to her, maybe because I didn't watch it during the 90s, I took a break from Dave, but I don't know. But I just feel like the way that they've brought the old favorites back and integrated them in, but also put a spotlight on them on GH, it's been a nice balance. You know, it's been a nice, the storytelling's good, it's not terribly repetitive, you know, it's, the story moves, but it moves at a gratifying pace for the fans, and I don't know, I think they're doing a lot of things right.
I only recently came back to Drone Hospital this past year because I had to stop watching it because it was so badly written for like 8 years.
Yes.
Because they were killing off all the quartermains. It was like the Sonny, Jason, Carly show. And it's like, I don't really like these characters. And anybody who goes against them is evil and bad, and they always have to win. I'm like, I don't want to see, I want an ensemble show. I don't want to watch something like that. And I'm like, it really turned me off. I'm like, come on, Sonny can't always win, damn it.
Right.
And I just
couldn't
watch it anymore. And I actually started hating the characters.
It's definitely an ensemble show now.
It is now. Yeah, and when I heard that people wanted to live were coming on, I said I'll give them a month before I start watching it because I don't want to get sucked in and it's just gonna suck. Because let's be honest, they did some pretty bad stories in One Life to Live.
Oh,
it's
been a pretty good ensemble show now, don't you think?
Yeah.
They're using a lot of characters.
The only thing I find unwatchable is the character of Connie. Nothing against Kelly Sullivan.
Yeah.
I think she's a great actress, but I hate her. I hate that character. It's like,
well, you hate her, and there's nothing redeeming about her. I mean, I think that's the problem. Like with Days, you've got the villains that are redeemed. You know, they have some redemptive qualities. Stefano, Kate, you just love her even though she's sometimes bad and everything. And, you know, EJ, and I mean, the villains, at least, I don't think Kristen is, but the rest of the villains, it's the way they write them. And the way the actors deliver the characters, you know, the lines and everything. That you find this depth of character in this, and to me, the Connie character is one that I've mostly fast-forwarded through. I've recently started watching a little bit of her, and again, nothing against the actress. I don't know the actress from Adam, but I just find that character very unredemptive and annoying, and really, she doesn't give you anything to root for. You know, there's nothing rootable about her. And
you know,
to me, the way... the most success, the way to write a villain and to act, you know, to handle that is to always find something that gives them a humanity or some sort of redemptive quality. I mean, Days does that pretty well. I mean, you know, Stefano and EJ, it's their kids that are there and their families are the people that they love that are that soften the edges, and same with Kate, you know. But, like, with Connie, you're right. I don't really waste a lot of time on her. I just barely started watching some of her scenes just because of some of the stuff going on with some of the other characters. But I agree with you on that one.
It just, you know, something's wrong when you keep hoping Johnny's either going to send her away, lock her up somewhere, or, like, kill her. I mean, it's like he hasn't killed before, for God's sakes, you know. It's like, why is she still alive? I mean, he's killed, like, his grandfather, a child, that... Star's boyfriend, why is he letting this woman live? I don't understand. I just don't get it.
I agree.
Yeah, I prefer the villains on Days. They're much better. There's more, even if you don't necessarily like the character, you know there's a lot more depth to them.
Right. I agree. Definitely. So, yeah, and I don't know. I found that I mostly fast forward through Carly and Sunny's stuff. I don't know. I mean, I used to think Maurice Bernard was attractive and everything, and when I was tuning in occasionally just for a few minutes here and there over the years, I thought I liked Sonny, but you're right, it became like the whole mob story was the whole thing, and I'm finding right now I love, you know, Leslie Charleston on there. I love the Tracy and the Tracy and Monica, you know, getting back to those core family, the Quartermains, all that. I love that. I really love that. And, that,
always,
and they were brilliant to do it.
They were always the best part of the show. Is when they started killing them off, it was just like, oh, come on. Leave the Quartermains alone. The fans love them. Why are they doing this? I just didn't understand that. They weren't listening to the fans at all. They're pissing them off pretty much.
So it sounds like these writers really have been, and I'm impressed with what they've done, the writers and producers. So,
yeah.
Kudos.
Every show needs work. You know, nothing's ever perfect. We always have to complain about something because you like
That's
something
right.
and other people. Right.
That's part of the sport of it, right?
Yeah. Don't you love watching something and go, oh, come on. You're like, you want to throw your remote at the TV. Is the character really just stupid? What the hell?
Like Carrie was saying, that's why she likes to live tweet it, because it makes it more entertaining. She can vent at the time. I agree. I think they're doing a good job.
Now somebody needs to tell Dave that, you know, Dave writers how to write. Send some of them writers over there.
Yes,
I mean, there's some stuff I really like, but some stuff I really can't stand on the show right now.
Which things can't you stand? And see, I'll see if there's.
I want Gabby and Nick to die. I cannot stand them. Oh my! I first liked them when they first got together. I didn't mind it. I didn't buy their suddenly in love. It's done and lost. Let's be honest. Come on now.
Yeah.
I don't buy
they
that.
They sure fell in love awful quick.
Ever since Nick came up with the big plan to pass this stuff off to the child, they're both so happy rubbing it in Will's face and making him feel like crap, and they don't feel guilty about it. Whenever he starts having doubts, they're arrogant and they're being, I'm sorry, bullies. And I'm like, Will, kick his ass.
Yeah, Nick is becoming really nasty lately. But
yeah.
It's kind of changing the character of Nick a little bit. He's becoming, like, very nasty a little bit.
I don't know, towards Will, calling him a gay boy.
Yeah. And,
It makes a little sense because, you know, who knows what happened to him in those 4 years in prison? We don't know yet. Prison can change people for the worse.
Well,
you know?
I'm sure we know. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure that's like Blake Barris is a really good actor, and I'm sure that's why he took on the role again, came back. I think they probably presented it to him that, you know, he's going to come across as squeaky clean, but there are layers under Nick that are going to be exposed over time. Because I think he wasn't he even smoking a cigar or something when he left someplace at one point, and he realized he seemed like he was doing something, and he kind of smirked, and he was kind of. I don't know. I hate Nick right now, but Blake is doing a great job. I mean, I want Kate to jump across the table and smack the crap out of him the other day.
Oh, and a job.
He's
going to
be working with Kate, so this should be interesting. Yeah. I think it's going
to
be good with him.
You know,
working
I have
for
to
Kate.
Say, the thing I'm really looking forward to is the damn wedding. I just want it over with. And I want someone like smack Gabby or something. I'm like, when is the truth going
to
come out about what
she
did to Melanie?
Everybody
needs
to know what she did to Melanie. I hate that she's getting away with that. I hate
Isn't
that.
Isn't Chad going to expose her or something? I hope he does.
I heard a spoiler about Chad. I don't know if you want me to mention it or not.
I'm fine with it.
Go for it.
Well, apparently when she's having her going to see her doctor, which is going to be Cameron for... What kind of doctor is he anyway? Anyway, and he figured out that there's no way...
Dr. Dan, apparently, specialty of all.
Well, apparently Cameron is the only smart person in town and realizes there's no way in hell that Nick can be the father because he was, you know, still in prison and all. And I guess she says...
I can't believe they have...
Yeah, I don't know whether she says that Will's the father or not. I don't know. But apparently someone overhears, and I'm assuming it's probably Chad because he is supposed to show up at the wedding and make some announcement about the pregnancy and all that. So I'm assuming he must know something. But I'm kind of going, yes, please. I love Chad even more now if that's the case because I love that character, and I hate the fact the way the writers kind of – there's no way in hell. He's a demerit, for God's sakes. He's not going to go to prison for, you know, beating the crap out of Nick. Come on. Easy with, like, Kate Jojoff or something.
Exactly.
You know?
That's the lamest
thing
that they did there with that contract thing.
I feel sorry for him because, I feel sorry for Casey because honestly, the way they've written that character, his character's been a waste of space for quite a while. And
he's
it's a shame because he and EJ, I mean, they're both, they can really develop. I mean, they try to give him scenes. And
written right,
scenes.
He would have been a good Demira if he was written right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know what they did? They made it to where he was just wishy-washy. Like, it wasn't like he was totally against the Demiras, like the anti-Demira, but he wasn't totally in the Demiras either. And it's been frustrating because I'd like to see, if they're going to keep Chad around, I would like to see his gray side more. I'd like to see the darker side. Let him always struggle with it. Fine. I mean,
yeah.
EJ's gray on the dark side and struggles to be good. Let Chad struggle to be bad. You know, I don't know. But, I mean, I just think that there could be so much more there, and they haven't given it to him, really. And so there's just been a few times where he's really gotten to dig into that. So if they keep him around, I hope that they finally let him embrace the Demira side and really become part of that family.
One other upside to this attorney hopefully getting out in the open, which I'm hoping for, is it'll be finally end the damn boringness of his safe. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But you know, Graves going to be supporting Gabby. He's probably going to be a total dick to Will and blame him for this. Like, it's his fault that she actually opened her legs or something. I don't know. But you know, it's like you...
Yeah.
And Sammy's going to be on Will's side, of course. And, of course, we know EJ's going to be on Will's side. And Kay's going to be on Will's side. Let's be honest.
Okay.
And Lucas,
yeah.
Hopefully he'll be in there. Because I miss Brian Detilloff, man. I really do.
I love
Ryan.
Yeah.
And I love all the scenes lately with Will and Kate, which makes me so happy because I love that relationship.
Yes.
A scene that really tugged me is when she's asking her to give Nick another opportunity at that job because she's like, if they might have to leave town and Gabby will leave, you know, he doesn't want to miss being around that baby. And you know, any other time she'd tell Nick to go screw himself, but she's willing to consider it because it's Will asking, you know?
Right.
And I love that.
She'd
do anything for
him.
Will.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, they were so cute together. They're just like, and I'm happy that it's no longer just the Marlena and Will show because I was really getting annoyed last year when it was Marlena seemed to be the only one that knew his secret and all this stuff when Kate already figured it out. And it seemed like Kate was just on the periphery and really wasn't involved. And now it seems like they're having more scenes together and she's really involved. And she's so – those scenes with her and Sunny were so cute and everything.
Oh, God,
adorable. And so I'm excited. I think this is shaping up to be a rather interesting, you know, dynamic. And
I miss the Will and EJ relationship, too.
Yeah.
I've had a few scenes in the last few weeks,
which I've been enjoying. Mm-hmm. But what I really can't wait is, how do you think Kate's going to react to find out not only that Gabby's pregnant with Will's kid, but the fact that both her and Nick are basically trying to shut him out, and Nick's being a total jerk to him? Can you imagine how well it's going to go over with Grandma Kate? I mean, come on.
He's going to be working for her.
She's going to make his life hell.
This
will
be fun.
Yes.
I can't see how EJ's going to react to all of this.
And Safe is so boring. I mean, you know, I'm sort of the conclusion that Marianne will back me up on this.
They're shoving them down our throat.
And Marianne will back me up on this. Is that, honestly, Rafe is a lot better with other people. I mean, I wasn't always like a total Ejammy because I like Lumi, too. I like Lumi and Ejammy.
Oh, yeah, so great.
For different reasons. They both bring out different aspects of Sammy, and I also think that I like both guys, too. I think they're both really good with her in that way.
They're not Sammy and Rafe.
You know. Yeah, but Sammy and Rafe, I think there's something about that dynamic that sucks the life out of Rafe. And I really think that, I mean, I love him, like in other scenes, and I would have never thought I would say this, but I love him in scenes with Nicole. He had scenes with Kate. He was good in those. He's been in other scenes with other people, and that gives you a chance to see that, like, he really can, like, come out. I mean, he's, you know, I don't know what his range is as an actor, but in terms of character, he's much more interesting. He's much more interesting than he is with Sammy. Yeah, I mean, it's never going to be Shakespeare, probably, but, you know, I mean, he's...
No.
I just think that maybe, for whatever reason, that dynamic does not work for his character at all, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I know they have, I know yeah. Faith have their fans, but I
love
it whenever he's
what,
another
two?
Dean. Yeah.
Like, where are
they?
And
they're both,
where
and
are
they're
they?
Both in jun- and they're both in junior high, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, where are they? I don't see them online
so,
anywhere.
Yeah.
I must not be on those sites, though, I guess.
Yeah.
I
think the main reason I don't like Safe is I feel like every time Sammy's around him, it's like he's taking the whole life out of her. At least when she's either if she's with Lucas or with EJ, it's like she can be herself. She doesn't have to try to pretend to
mm-hmm.
be something she's not.
Right.
I think I was always a big Lumi or Jamie fan because I think they really understood Sammy and didn't try to change her.
Right.
He makes her feel and Ray makes her feel crap about herself. He was always putting her down. He's always judging
right.
her.
Right.
And he's, he acts
right.
like he's better than her. He's not. Let's be honest. He's
whereas
not.
Whereas if you notice with Nicole and Kate in the past week or so, the past couple weeks,
yeah.
it's like he seems to be more accepting of them as who they are. Or kind of, I don't know. It's like, you're right. I think you hit on something. He's rather, is it sanctimonious or judgmental
uh-huh.
or something when he's with
Sammy?
Oh,
he's so smug. And, yeah.
But
oh.
he's not as smug. He's more real or something when he's with these other people. And so... I think that's what, I mean, like with Nicole, Nicole's just as bad as Sammy is, if not worse. I mean, I love her, he doesn't seem to judge her. Like, it's like, it's, and I think you hit on something. It's like he's always trying to put Sammy back in the square peg and she's around. He's
mm-hmm.
never going to be
yeah.
square.
Oh, yeah, he was comparing her to Kristen just the other day.
Oh,
here,
God.
Here.
Yeah.
Like, she did the same thing as, yeah.
Well, let's be honest. I think some way Sammy has been a little bit worse than Kristen.
I
yeah.
think so, a little bit, yeah.
So.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have like, said it the way he did. He kind of was a little insulty the way he said it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I hated the New Year's Eve thing with him. Oh, please. It's
I
like
know.
He'll kiss her, he'll lead her on thinking something's going to happen, and then he kind of pulls back, and then she feels stupid for trusting in it again. It's like, damn it, Rafe. If you don't want to be with her, don't be with her. If you want to be with her, just say, I want to be with you, that's it. Don't play your little games. You know?
Yeah.
Just, I do know a lot. When I read online, a lot of fans are so sick of this damn triangle. They're like so over it by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they keep going
like,
back and forth. One day
well,
Sammy
and
Ray. One day EJ and Sammy.
And I have to admit, and like I said, I've always liked them for different reasons, but I've really been enjoying the Jamie scenes, and I'm kind of like, why is there still this push-pull with Rafe right now? I mean, this just isn't... Like, just go with it, Sammy. Go with your inner demon and go for EJ, you know?
I think I have a theory about why she always goes to Rafe, because I think he's the kind of guy that her family wants her to be with.
Right,
she wants to play,
right.
And I think she Wally wants them to like her, her family, and to accept her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only way they can do that is if she's with someone like Rafe.
That's a good point. So what do you think of Dannifer?
Oh, God, I want to gag myself every time they're on screen together.
I know. I just fast forward. They're strictly fast forward material for me at this point.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, you know, I'm probably going to say something that's not very popular because I am a big Matthew Ashford fan, but I really
mm-hmm.
didn't feel it the last time he was there. Obviously, they voted really hardly. But I was kind of hoping, is they were going to kill him off, which I was like, oh, God, did he really have to go
mm-hmm.
splat? I was hoping they wouldn't go the Dannifer route again. I wanted to see her grieve for like 6 months or maybe a year. I know it's impossible
yeah.
on a soap to do that, but it was like, what, a week? And
yeah.
I'm like, first of all,
did she ever grieve? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wasn't a big Jack Jennifer fan. I just couldn't get into it because I think I missed so much of it. You know, and then they would always leave, so I really couldn't get into it. I'm like, are they leaving again?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I didn't really get into that, but I tried to keep up with mine when I was watching it.
Yeah.
But Jennifer and Danny, I don't understand. I don't really feel any chemistry between them. And I just kind of felt it's a little disturbing how quickly she's suddenly still in love with him.
Yeah.
I just don't understand
well,
that.
Let's face it, and I'm an old Jack and Jen fan, so I'm biased that way from the
mm-hmm,
80s
mm-hmm.
and stuff. But, I mean, let's face it, she treated like Jack like dirt like half the time
mm-hmm.
she was back this time.
Yeah.
And almost like, well, I guess I need to go with the father of my kids instead of who I really want to go with, you know. The whole thing was annoying to me. I mean, I don't know. And, of course, the writing, unfortunately, was very choppy for Jack and Jen again
right.
this time around. But, for as traumatic of a death as he experienced, you would think, and her being right there, you would think that they would have explored that trauma a little bit more, or, I mean, I don't expect you to walk around in black for a year, but, I mean, just, you know, on a soap, but, you know, I just think they could have explored some of it more, but I don't know. I just, I'll be honest, I saw more, quote-unquote, chemistry, if you will, with Dana for the first time around. If nothing else, I was kind of like, well, they're not that bad, I guess. I mean, I didn't really root for them, but I, you know, they weren't horrible to me. But this time around, I just don't get it. To me, it feels like Tomlin forcing it on us again. He forced the miracle working doctor on us the first time for like however long, and now he's forcing Dannefer on us again. And it's just, I feel like it's, oh gosh, he
so
hasn't
Chloe
saved
brought
her life
in for
yet
the tri-
again.
You think Chloe was brought in for the triangle between the three of them?
I guess.
If it kills if it kills Dannefer, I will praise Chloe.
Maybe we can like Chloe now.
I don't want Danlo again, though. I couldn't stand Danlo.
I think she's only back for a few months.
Maybe
anyway,
Brady?
So.
Maybe for Brady? I don't know.
Well, I thought, you know,
still
I would say this. I've always been a Flowey fan. I mean, I didn't watch when they were first on, but I really became a Flowey fan and liked some of their old clips and stuff. And so I was always rooting for Flowey to get back together, but if Jay Kenneth isn't coming back, or I don't know if he is, but I haven't heard any rumors of that lately. But if we can't have him be in that role and be Philip and have them get together, I honestly wish they would give. I'd rather see a Nicole Brady Chloe triangle with a little Father Eric thrown into the mix.
Yes, I love Eric.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
I
he's just way too hot to be a priest. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
One of our friends, Jewel, Oh My Jewels on Julie, Oh My Jewels on Twitter.
Yeah.
She tweeted that last night. Maybe she wished that Eric Brady were really an undercover ISA agent. I love that. So I tweeted something back like, "Oh, I'd like to see him under the covers," or something like that. But, oh, my gosh, I love that man. I'm so glad Greg Vaughn came to the show.
He is all kinds of yummy. He was great.
Yeah, he is just all kinds of yummy, and I can't wait for that collar to come off. Nicole cannot move fast enough. Come on. I do enjoy the dynamic. What do you guys think of the dynamic with Sammy and Eric? I've enjoyed seeing the two of them play off each other.
I do, too.
Oh, yeah. They're good. Yeah, they have good chemistry together as brother and sister. Yeah, he filled the role of Eric really well, I think, as it was,
yes,
you know,
he does.
As a recap.
It's hard to come in.
I didn't watch it back then. I was taking a long break for most of the 90s and a good part of the early 21st century. So I didn't see the Eric. I know Jason, was it who? Eccles?
Jensen Eccles.
Eccles. Eccles, yeah.
Jensen Eccles.
Yeah. He was good for that time. He was real cute.
But I think they did a great job on the recast, not having any basis of comparison, but I think they did a great job. The chemistry is good with the brother-sister, and could not be more contrasting in terms of, you know, he's a priest and she's, well, not a nun.
Oh, and CRS, how come you're not a nun? I just lost it. I couldn't stop laughing when she said that. I thought Eric was going to lose it and start laughing. That's what I thought, you know?
Somebody needs to loosen him up a little bit. I think his collar's a little tight. That could be the one. Maybe Chloe could go to confession, too. She needs some confession time, maybe.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But poor, I don't know, I think Brady needs saved from Kristen, so somebody needs to save that poor man.
I have to say, I hate to say it's probably not going to be popular, but I actually like Brady and Kristen together.
Oh, really?
Okay, yeah, I know it's probably not popular. I don't even know why I like it. I don't even know why I like it. That's the worst part, I don't know why. I'm like, I didn't want to see Kristen going after John, because I'm like, we've been there, done that. Make it different.
Yeah.
I went, okay, this is definitely different. And anyone else notice whenever Brady has a love scene, it always looks like you're stuck in the middle of a porno for some reason? Why is that?
Well, I was going to say, I certainly welcome any opportunity to see his bare chest. He does have the best bare chest in all of Salem, I must say. But Although we haven't seen Father Eric's much, I think we should try to see that a little more frequently than just alone in bed in the middle of the night with nobody beside him. But yeah, but he does have a nice nice chest, I must say. But,
I agree.
I mean, I guess, I don't know. I guess for me, I'm just not, I guess because I wasn't a Kristen fan to begin with because I didn't watch in the 90s. And
right.
So, I mean, I like the fact that she came in and basically made it possible for Ejami to kind of get in the same orbit again. That
mm-hmm.
part's fine. But I think, you know, I don't know. I kind of, if they were putting her up, you know, if she and Kate were maybe going against each other more, you know, as far as business or something,
right.
maybe I would enjoy it more. But I kind of feel like, and being a huge Kate fan, I feel like Kate's been backburnered since she's been back. And that irritates the crap out of me because Kate can, I mean, she lights up any scene and she's great with anybody, any combination.
I agree, yeah.
And I feel like she's been backburnered. And it's nothing against the actor. I mean, I have nothing against Eileen. She's a fine actress and everything.
Right.
But and it's not her fault. I just think the writers, again, on GH, there's that balance and this ensemble now. And I feel
mm-hmm.
like they could do more of that on Days, and I feel like Kate suffered, you know, the character has suffered with a lot of off-screen time while they
mm-hmm.
brought Kristen back, and I don't mean to make it a Kristen versus Kate thing either, but I just
right.
think it's frustrating as a Kate fan to go, okay, let's see, oh, wait, we have to wait till next Thursday to see her again, you know, it's just frustrating, so... So that's partly why I think I get annoyed is this, you know, the lack of screen time for Kate, but... You know, but I mean, that's fine. There's, I mean, I know there's Kristen fans out there, and I know that there's some Kristen Brady fans, so nothing wrong with that.
I also think the other reason I'm glad they brought
Brady needs to catch a clue. He's so gullible.
Yeah.
Even Sammy said that. She says, "My gullible brother, you know, my gullible brother." Yeah. And he is. Oh my gosh. How stupid.
But I have to say,
does he really think
Donna
Marlena would lie to him? I mean, what is in it for them? I mean,
what's that?
What's in it for John and Marlena to be lying to him? I mean, why wouldn't he be like, okay, you guys obviously know something I'm not seeing here. You know.
Right.
You'd think he would internalize that a little bit. But.
Well, the thing I'm loving the most about it, ever since Chris came back, is seeing somebody make Marlena like lose it. It's been so much fun to watch. Because Marlena's
yes.
supposed to be the brash little one, whatever. And Kristen always got her like this. She's always able to get under Marlena's skin like no one
uh-huh.
I've ever seen. And
yeah.
I love it because she's doing these little things that Marlena... It almost reminds me, Sammy really
yeah.
is related to Marlena
yeah.
because they're doing the same stuff. I'm like, see,
yeah.
you're not better than her.
Oh, yeah, Sammy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love their scenes together because it's like... Marlena gets so pissed off, Kristen just looks at her like she's so stupid, and especially John, when Kristen finally told off John and told him what she's been up to, she goes, "You're such an idiot." And I was just hysterical. I don't know, I kind of like seeing John and Marlena kind of basically go, yeah, we're basically going to, you know, plus it's giving them a lot of story, which I like, but I also like seeing, like, finally have a real adversary, that someone,
yeah.
you know, they're not just going to be able to push them around and they're going to write them off or whatever. And they'll bring us
yeah.
a buy on for a few weeks, and that's it. I don't really like it.
Yeah, they are getting
that.
A story right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like it when Marlena's... I mean, I was... You know, I've said before in the show, I was a huge Marlena fan in the 80s, in the early 80s and mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
But when I returned to the show 5-6 years ago, I just... Marlena was unrecognizable to me, and so I just really hadn't been a fan for a while. But
right.
I got to say, Kristen's making me root for her, because I'm like... When she smacked her the other day, I was like, yes, somebody needed to do that. So,
when she smacked. Oh, that was
Marlena
great. I loved
called
it.
Off, she did something like, you know, she basically prefaces by saying, like, you know, I'm not doing this because, you know, because I have any reason to. I just want to or whatever. I mean, I don't know how she said it, but it was just funny. It was just like, oh, I don't want you to think you're getting to me, and that's why I'm doing this. But I just want to. And then she all walked into this. Like, that was she said it better than I'm saying it. Whatever the line was, it was pretty funny.
I know what
I,
you mean,
I,
yeah.
It was funny.
So many times that we'd want to do the same thing, you know?
Yes, yes.
She does what, yeah.
But I have to admit, Kristen's accomplished me actually rooting for Marlena for a change and being like,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring something up. I know this was aired a few weeks ago, but I really love the scene. It was a scene, I think it was a Brady pub, when Lucas comes in after Dannefer's in there. And he kind of says, how long is, it has been so long since Jack died. I'm like, finally somebody's saying it. And he kind of telling him, like, he's like, he goes after all his patients, and look what he did to Chloe, look what he did to all these different people. He's going to do the same thing to you. And I'm like, finally somebody's not on the I love Daniel fan club crap, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody finally says what we've all been thinking.
Well, yeah, Lucas said what the fans are saying. Yeah, basically. Yeah, exactly. He said exactly what, you know, probably out there on Twitter or everywhere.
Yes.
So some writer must have seen, you know, knows what the fans are saying or want to hear. Yeah.
Man, I don't know if it's just me, but doesn't Daniel come across like some like a sexual predator, for God's sakes?
Yes. Well, that's real life. We've talked about that a lot.
He'd be in jail if this is real life. He has no medical license. He'd be in prison.
Exactly. Come on.
That's the way I think of it. I know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, how can
all
these women be saying how wonderful he is? You know? You're not wonderful.
The writers
say
that.
You've got issues.
The fans say
you need some therapy. Go see Marlena.
Lucas had another line that was awesome, too, about he was telling his mom that she should definitely come to the Hortons for, you know,
like, hey, you're the reason I got in, you get an ornament. We can go to the Horton house.
Oh, I'm like, if Gabby can have an ornament, you can come to the house, too. That must have been like the dance or Christmas or something. I was at my mom's, and I was actually watching it live. And I laughed out loud. It was funny. I was just like, perfect. So hey,
another thing is what the fans were thinking. Like, Gabby, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what I liked about it. I'm like, since when does Lucas not like Gabby? I'm like, oh, he's really not going to like her soon enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's being a little pissed.
Yeah,
you know?
It's going to be interesting when everybody realizes that this is really a Horton baby floating around in Gabby's.
Hey, I'm going to throw another caller in. We have people in queue, so I'm going to throw someone else in. David was calling in, so I wanted to get David on the line, too.
Okay.
Hey, David.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, thanks for taking my dare. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So, what do you think about Lucas being the voice of reason on the show?
The voice of reason on Days?
Yes. There has to be one.
I'm probably thinking Sunny.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right now.
Yeah, he can be.
I can't get into Nick right now. I mean, I thought they were gonna soften him since he got out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he's turned into such a jerk.
Yeah.
Nothing against the actor. I didn't care for that. Maybe it's just the writing, but I didn't care for the slur against Will he had the other day.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, having my baby raised by a gay boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't like that at all. No. I was hoping Will was going to sock him right there, but you can't have everything you want.
Right.
It's probably coming, though. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see it. Yeah.
But someone's pot's beginning to boil, because how long can they keep that baby a secret?
Really? It's Salem?
Yes. I guess it'll probably come out at the wedding, probably. You know, they'll have to stop a wedding. Another Salem wedding will be stopped. It's usually what happens.
Didn't I say something about there being a stunt coordinator for the wedding? When they're filming it? I think
someone's
going to get smacked.
I think someone's going to get hit. Cool.
Hopefully it's Nick.
Oh.
I hope so.
Something something's got to happen. I like Eric.
Oh yeah, we all do.
Yeah. Well, I thought maybe that Greg would probably dye his hair blonde just for the show, so they can show the real twins. I think because they don't really look like twins. I thought maybe they do something, but I guess not.
Well, fraternal twins don't usually look alike, so.
And the other thing that gets me is that I wish Bo would show up. I mean,
where is he, by the way?
I don't know. He's either
upstairs again.
I don't know. He's either upstairs looking for skis or he's downstairs in the garage. I don't know, but they always refer to him, but they never show him now because Peter's not on.
Well, that annoyed me, but when he left, if they knew he definitely is not going to come back, why didn't they just, I don't know, have him, like, go off somewhere, or maybe there's some boat explosion or something or whatever, so they don't actually have, you know, at least this way, you know, because how long is Hope going to say, oh, he's in the other room? I mean, come on, it's not really fair to Chris and Alfonso, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get tired one of these days.
Yeah,
get old.
Is there something out there that there's going to be somebody else now for Hope?
Yeah, they cast someone new. Yeah, that's what I read.
There is?
Somebody with a checkered past or something. I don't remember exactly what it said in the magazine.
Every new character has a checkered past. I mean,
even the characters on the show have a checkered past.
Everybody
they make up along the way.
Everybody has one. But is there someone new looming that you know?
They're not
really
saying anything at all. They're not being very specific at all. We don't know if it's a guy, don't know if it's a girl, we don't know. It could be just someone she's a befriend or something or help, I don't know. They haven't really said anything, I don't think.
What else? Oh.
Oh, we had a Cassie and Rex mention this week, too.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah. We did. That came out of the blue.
I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Kate forgot about them.
I went to visit them, and I was like,
I thought they really just completely forgot about them.
Well, I'm such a geek, I remember this, but in 2008, when Philip was in, like, a plane crash or something, and she's at the church with Victor, and she's like, they're thinking, wow, their son might be dead, she was kind of like counting on her fingers how many, I'm exaggerating, but she was kind of like counting up how many kids she had left. And Rex and Cassie didn't make the short list, so.
No, yeah.
Okay,
like they weren't even existing anymore.
Yeah, and so that was really funny that she mentioned them. That was kind of a neat, you know, I'm like, oh, wow, okay.
Oh, I really don't want to see them again, though.
What was really odd is they were sending her off on a vacation to go see all these people, but she's going to be back for the wedding next week. So
yeah, I heard that. So was she going for like a day?
Yeah.
Well, it's like Salem's
an hour away, so maybe they're all hanging out in Chicago with Parker or something. I don't know.
I was wondering that myself. Like, what?
Yeah, that was odd.
I think
the whole point of that conversation was for other. Yeah, I think it was more so she could say at the end. Wasn't that the one with her and EJ where?
Yes.
No. Yeah, where she was at the end saying that he would never get rid of his obsession with Sammy, you know, kind of thing. I don't know. So.
Probably won't.
I liked when EJ kissed Kate, though. That was sweet. Or when they kissed goodbye, I was like, ooh, yeah, ooh. We can do that again. EJ, I like EJ back in the day.
Sammy.
Yeah, they had some fun back in the day when he first came on the show.
Yes, I've seen those stuff on YouTube.
And it was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It was pretty
sweet
when the way, you know, he was you could tell his countenance changed, and he was totally, like, you could tell he was really sincere when he was telling her he was happy that she was still cancer free and everything for 4 years and all.
I'm like, aww.
I was like, oh, that was sweet. So, anyway.
So.
Cassie and Rex, no, they're Kate and Roman's children?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I forgot. It's been a while, so my mind goes. I try to
block them out. I really did not like them. I just like, oh my god, please go away. I don't know, just especially Cassie, she just got on my nerves. I try to like her, but I just couldn't get into her character at all.
Yeah.
At least Rex was pretty.
I wasn't watching, but during that period, but I've never really had a great strong tie to either of those characters, but. You know, I mean, the more the merrier when it comes to Kate, but, you know, those two, I'm not really...
No.
It really should have been... Yeah,
Kate
it really should
that.
Have been Marlena and Tony, not Kate and Roman.
Well,
and
the Cayman fans love it, because they love having Roman and Kate have kids together, but, you know, I just personally, I'm not attached to them at all, because I didn't watch, and I really, you know, didn't see much interaction with those two, so...
Right.
Yeah, this really wasn't discussed that much. Stephen Nichols got let go from Young and Restless.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured you guys didn't know that. Yeah.
That's just a
show.
Yeah.
Interesting. January 28th.
Yeah, so since they're not really pursuing Abe and Kayla like we thought, or like they said they were going to do, and then Peter Reckel is still gone and still not coming back. You know, why not bring back Stephen Nichols?
Right.
Maybe. I was digging Abe's goatee. I was like, why don't we go look on you? Abe, rocking the goatee. Nice. Like, maybe Kayla will take a second look now. It's kind of sexy on him. No, but that would be interesting.
Bring it back,
I hadn't heard that.
Beginning.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. I hadn't heard that he was released. Huh. Very interesting.
Eric Braden, of all people, was one tweeting about it. That's
really?
That's how I found out about it. Yeah. He said he really enjoyed working with him.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah, Eric Braden's like a little Twitter machine. Oh, speaking of Twitter, if you're on, Deidre and Drake all week have been tweeting character. So you have to freaking read it. It is so hilarious.
Talking about Brady and Kristen,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And about the coffee house and their townhouse. And
we haven't seen the townhouse in a while. And Drake made a comment that he's in the Salem tunnels with a homeless guy living in a cardboard box or something. It's so funny. So I think it's Eddie
Drake
on Drake Hogenston.
Missing an action for a while. He's really into getting the tweeting lately.
You know what? That reminds me. Let me put on SJ, but she asked me to talk about Brian Dottillo's tweet because he tweeted this week. He actually asked his fans to stop contacting the studio about giving him more airtime. So, SJ, what's up?
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, SJ.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
We got a full house tonight, so.
Everybody chime in.
What were we talking about, Brian? Was that what you said?
What's up with that?
Yeah, he tweeted something the other day. I don't remember exactly how he put it, but basically it was that the day's powers that be. Well, see, didn't he send out a tweet a couple weeks ago asking for fans to tweet or send things in to try to get his storyline, get Lucas's storyline going? Well, anyway, he sent out a tweet. It was a couple of days ago, I think, telling the fans to stop, that the day's powers that be had told him to, you know, tell everybody to stop, that they were tired of hearing it. Especially, you know, his fans have been campaigning for Lucas to actually get a story, and Days is saying, you know, tell your fans to shut up. So that's just awesome, isn't it?
Whoa. And
wow, that's
Days
nice.
Fans have been doing that for years, you know, campaigning for their
characters to get back on. That's what we do. That's what,
well, we saw the meetings. We actually gave him a story.
Could it be because he's probably gone already or going to be gone?
That's what I'm
thinking.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, too.
What I've been hearing.
Somebody,
if somebody
tweeted
what I'm thinking.
They're giving Brian the Ashford treatment.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, okay, your fan base campaigns to get you back.
Yeah.
You get back on the show, and then they back burner you, and then all of a sudden, you fall down an elevator shaft or something. So,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I don't have a good feeling about that, Brian.
No, I don't. I don't have
that
comment
then.
I mean, it doesn't really make sense because he's needed on the show right now, especially for Will, for Sammy, for Kate.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. He's made a grandpa, for God's sakes. Come on.
And he is a Horton. And he is a Horton, which they wanted to go back to the family values and all that crap that they spewed last year.
Last year, SJ.
let's not actually use a real Horton. Let's make Daniel a Horton and throw him out there.
I cannot believe he has
a
Horton ball. Ornament.
Yeah, the tangerine ball. Oh, whatever.
Mm. Captain Cheeto, I guess.
Oh, man.
But
you guys
were talking about Jennifer.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was online and for some orange balls. God.
Don't you get the feeling that they only want to hear from the people when they're... I mean, like, I get the feeling like if Kristen DeMiro was getting a ton of fan mail... they'd be fine but, you know, if it's Brian DeTillo getting it, then it's like if they're not wanting to write for him or something, or write for the character or something, then it's just an annoyance that the fans, those silly little fans, call in or write in or whatever.
But
they don't listen to the fans. They never did.
Yeah.
They never will.
And, you know, when Lucas returned, that was such a good return. I mean, they wrote well.
Yep.
It was so mm-hmm. he was so much more confident and grounded, the character was, and I just loved it. And I mean, yeah, okay, let Sammy and him just be friends or, you know, co-parent or whatever, and give him a story. I don't, you know, I mean, heck with the Will thing and everything, he's got plenty to do. I mean,
yes, he does.
I don't know. I kind of wondered because I love Greg Vaughn, so I don't want him to leave, but I kind of thought. You know, they're kind of writing him in a Sammy Lucas kind of, I mean, not that they're the same, not that they're interchangeable, but they're kind of allowing Sammy to, or they're writing Sammy to show her sort of goofier, silly side with her brother, you know, because he's so serious now and so perfect, you know. It's a contrast, you know. And so it's like, it's almost like he's filling the Lucas gap now, you know, and I don't like that. I mean, I like him. But they should be able to write more of an ensemble and incorporate Lucas into the stories and everything. I mean, and he's a beloved character. I mean, he's a beloved character and a beloved actor on the show. You know, his fans
want
to act.
But it's just like with Matthew Ashford. It's very similar if you think about it. Okay, fans wanted Jack and Jennifer. The show wants Daniel and Jennifer. They
mm-hmm.
don't want to give the fans what they want, so.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of Jack's character. Okay.
Yeah.
The fans, a lot of fans want Sammy and Lucas together.
They don't
want Sammy and Lucas together. They want Sammy with EJ, which I do believe is the route that they're going to eventually go, even though they're going to do this triangle for the 1,000,000th time during Sammy and EJ. But they think, the fans, a lot of fans want Sammy and Lucas. A lot of fans want EJ and Sammy. And then there's a few fans that want Rafe and Sammy. But I believe that Days wants Rafe and Sammy because of, doesn't Tomlin have a bromance with Galen Gehring? I mean, isn't it Tomlin that really likes him? Is that right?
Tomlin created the character of Rafe, too, and he created...
specifically for him after Passions ended.
Yeah.
Right.
He's a passion person.
Yeah. I just feel that Brian's going to go down the same road as Matt did. I don't think he'll be
thrown under the bus again.
Mm-hmm.
for the second, third, fourth time. I don't know how many times.
But
yeah,
I don't think
like
they'll
that.
Kill him. I don't think they'll kill Lucas off. They'll just send him back to Tokyo to, what was that girl's name? Autumn?
Autumn.
Yeah,
Autumn.
He'll just disappear. Him and Allie, the poor neglected child of Sammy's, they'll just disappear.
Yeah, she's the middle child or the neglected one.
The one that they forget.
Yeah.
The only person who pays attention to Allie is Will. That's so sad.
But we're getting new Sydney, though, so thank goodness we're getting new Sydney twins.
Hi, finally.
Yeah.
One that talks.
One's that emotes. Mm-hmm.
With emotion.
Yes.
That's not Ray's kid.
The girls are cute. Nothing wrong with them. They're just real quiet,
mm-hmm.
which
I don't know why they didn't keep
it.
The first one they had.
I know.
She was great.
We were so adult.
By
we
now,
so
she'd have been really
them.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I guess the girls, remember the real-life mom said that the girls were kind of getting difficult and they weren't as happy being there and stuff. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think they mm-hmm. all knew it was time for a change kind of thing, you know. So, but I'll always miss original Sydney, or not the original original one, but the one that was on screen quite a bit during the kidnapping and all that. They were adorable. But, I don't know. I mean, the Sydney they have is cute. I mean, she's sweet and cute, but I just think they need someone that's got a little more personality now. The boys are so Griffin and Aaron. Is that right? They're so animated and so.
Uh-huh. Hello, Johnny.
So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, Johnny. I mean, they're so animated that it kind of. I don't know. The contrast isn't really very good, I guess, maybe, with the real quiet ones. I thought it was cute, speaking of the little kids, I was cute when Johnny was like, look, mommy's kissing daddy. I was like, and Caroline's like,
yeah.
Grandma
what
Caroline's like, oh, it's New Year's Eve. Everyone kisses everyone. And I thought, no, it's your mother. No, your mother does rounds on New Year's Eve.
She kisses everyone.
Yeah, everyone kisses everybody on New Year's Eve.
She has a rotation. It's a new guy every Christmas. Every New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
What would have been really funny is if he'd then seen her kissing Ray. I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask a question. I don't know if anyone else picked up on this. But you ever notice when Sammy has the kids in the Hortown Square, which is always, Rafe, when he shows up, he always seems to pay attention to EJ's children and not Allie?
No one pays any attention to Allie.
They pay attention to Allie, yeah.
Or Allie.
Is he only nice to them because they're EJ's kids? He wants to be better parent, be better father material to EJ's kids? I don't know what's up with that.
No, the show's more centered around EJ's kids. It's EJ and Sammy and the kids. And so I think that they put more of an emphasis on the DeMera children versus the Hortons.
Yeah.
Which
is odd, since the Hortons are the cornerstone family, you would think that,
they really backburn the Hortons. I mean, except, the Horton living room has gotten a lot of use because of the holidays, and I'm sure Daniel and Jennifer will start making out on the couch again.
Oh, Lord, that poor couch. That poor couch. Please, no.
Isn't she supposed to end up in the hospital again?
The Horton couch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
she ends up in the hospital.
Are you serious?
What's wrong with Jennifer?
She is extremely accident-prone, and we all know Daniel gets turned on every time Jennifer's in the hospital. So there
they have to have a third date.
They might start groping her.
They had to have a third date, and the only way that Daniel can date is if he sees his patients naked in a hospital or under a hospital robe, or a gown. That's all. That's the only thing that turns him on, So.
Well, if Chloe really, really wants to get Daniel back, she should throw herself down some stairs or something and end up in the hospital.
Don't give him any ideas.
Maybe her appendix.
That
maybe
might
her
be what will happen.
First. Maybe her appendix should burst this
time,
or tonsillitis.
She starts getting cancer again, or not cancer.
She'll get sick again.
Tonsillitis, something.
Oh, he
breast
likes
implants.
To check out
that might get
again,
his
I'm
attention.
Sure.
Uh huh.
Mm.
I haven't been on in a while, but you guys saw the casting call. Have you guys saw the casting call for, like, I think it's like a 16 to 18 year old male who's going to be in the script with him telling his mother that she's just bed hopping with the doctor, and everyone who's assuming
that's
JJ.
I'm assuming it would be JJ.
Yeah.
Trey's gonna love that.
Oh boy.
Well, you know, we're campaigning to get Jack Devereaux back, but we actually were wanting Jack Devereaux senior.
Senior.
Maybe the signals got crossed, but I mean, you know, he'll be some angst for Danifer for about 2 days, and then he'll be like, "Oh, I love Dr. Dan," like everybody else does.
Yeah.
Should I have some sort of a medical emergency or something?
Maybe he'll say, "Mom, how come you're always in the hospital?"
I just hate how, Munchausen by pervy. Munchausen by proxy. Munchausen by pervy. You're going to open up a whole new mental illness category for Dr. Dan. Ugh. But my thing is, it goes back to the whole miracle working doctor pimping. I just, it just makes me want to, I enjoyed his scenes with Kate the other day. Those were really touching. No pun intended. They weren't really touching, but he wasn't touching anything. But in that particular scene,
and you don't know how hard that was for Daniel.
He wasn't coughing. Had she been coughing, it would have been
a tie his hands.
I'm sorry. The jokes just write themselves, folks. Really don't have to work that hard when it comes to Daniel. No, but I really enjoyed their scenes with talking about her cancer and then Parker and all. I thought those were really good. But I don't know. Kate, going back to Kate. Kate always makes everything better. I don't know. But he seems a little less pervy when she's in scenes with him. But I thought those were kind of sweet and everything. But obviously leading up to Parker returning. Well, do you guys think that I think this will be so stupid if he ends up being Daniel's son. Do you think that they're going to do that?
That is the spoiler.
That's the spoiler.
I can't believe they would do that. I mean, that that upsets the apple
cart. I saw that one
coming,
When I heard he was coming back, I thought I saw it. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I know that DNA has to, like, tests have to be done, like, an average of 14.2 times before the real father is actually exposed. But, come on, people. They really think that, I mean, how are they going to, what excuse are they going to use for that being messed up?
Caroline Alzheimer's?
Caroline got it wrong.
Alzheimer's was already starting, so she switched it, and then she forgot that she switched it, so she switched it again.
So
she really didn't switch it.
Then she forgot who Daniel was.
Actually, Stephanie Johnson confirms that Daniel's really the father off screen somehow. So somehow Stephanie Johnson's involved, yes.
Well, that's great. So they're just pulling everybody that's just kind of mysteriously left Salem that's, like, just living down at the riverfront.
Yeah, Stephanie's
calling just from
pull the secret circle. Yeah, that's the ticket.
That's the show she was on. I got it.
Yeah. I think it was canceled, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm really bummed about that because, I mean, if this is all for Dana for angst, oh, please. You know, I mean, changing his whole fraternity just for that, ugh, gag me.
You want to see how bad they want to tempt Dana for? They killed Jack. They killed Nicole's baby. And they're going to change the fraternity of Parker just for Dana for.
And Nicole is telling Chloe that she still wants Daniel back. So you get Nicole, Chloe. I know.
Oh my gosh!
Remember when John Christian tweeted a few months ago that he was at a fan event and he said all three women are after him. He was talking about Jennifer, Nicole. He was being serious. He's serious.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I think they should cast his mysteriously dead wife, Rebecca, and bring her back.
Yes!
Now
that would actually be good.
And then, and she could turn out to be the same mysteriously dead ex-wife of Rafe, too. That could be an interesting twist.
Yeah, they totally dropped that.
The same person, too.
Mysteriously
the same person.
Person came back, and they both see her and realize that she's scammed them both. And has an illegitimate child that doesn't. She doesn't know who the father is, Daniel or Rafe. I mean, we can write this. I mean, seriously. No, I'm kidding. Oh, jeez. Oh, that's disgusting. I'm so bummed. I really want it. So that means that Ben Parker's not technically Kate's grandson anymore either. That sucks.
Right. Which I read the spoilers that Kate and Chloe do spar again. So that could
that's
be fun.
Good. Oh, yeah, that could be, yeah. Yeah, I did see it on Lauren Cogley's fan club page, her Facebook fan club page.
Yeah, there's a picture.
They posted a picture of Chloe, of Kate going to the Kiriakis mansion with and Chloe opening the door. So, should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she tries to strangle Chloe with her fur, I don't know, if it's some sort of fur scarf. I'm like, maybe she could strangle her with that. No, I'm kidding. But then didn't you guys say that Chloe's just back for a couple months, so this is all to create Dannifer BS and then she's gone?
I think so.
She's still taping, right? Or
is
no?
She still taping? I was going to ask how long her stint is and is she still taping?
Yeah.
I know she was tweeting from Stockholm, right? Is that where she's from, Sweden? She's Swedish?
Yeah, she's Swedish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her and Brandon, I think, are visiting her family over there.
Oh,
so
okay.
I saw some tweets from her. But they've been dark for the last couple of weeks, right? And they go back to work on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's probably on vacation. But I wish they would make it permanent because I just hate Dannifer so much. But I would love Chloe to just ruin that.
Yeah.
I would like
really
anybody
would
to ruin
Chloe
that.
I with somebody other than Daniel because I just really don't want to see Dan Lowe 2. Whatever.
I don't care what comes between Jennifer and Daniel. I don't, it can be Caroline for all I care. Put Daniel and Caroline. Just break them up.
And raise well, the hands of anybody who cares if Abby and Chad are back together. I don't even think Abby and Chad care.
Nobody cares.
It's a shame. I really liked Skylar Yancey. I really liked where they were going with Abby and
Yeah.
Cameron.
What do you think this new Cameron? He's not very kind of dry and not as good an actor as Skylar.
I read something about that they're going to change the backstory for Cameron. Now he's going to have a mysterious past. You know, like you were saying, everybody has a checkered past. Cameron's going to have one. And what happened to Celeste? Did they just drop her? Did
just
she ever leave town?
Just
left
town.
Dropped her? Yes, I guess so.
He just left.
I mean, Tanya was the only Celeste.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the other actress came in and tried.
She did her best, but...
She did her best.
She was a lovely woman.
She's a lovely woman and everything, but just... I think when you create a character...
That's a role that will never be... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just, that would be like somebody else playing Stefano.
Just like Stefano,
even though,
right.
Know, I mean, there's just nobody else can come in and play Stefano. You might as well just...
Right.
Yeah, kill him off
no.
and send him to Hollywood
kill him
because
off for sure.
Just,
right.
No way.
You're
and
right,
I think
you're
that
right.
that actress had an impossible path. She's a lovely, lovely woman, but just had an impossible path in coming in and trying to fill the shoes at the last minute of Tanya, who couldn't be there. And But yeah, I really miss Skylar Yancey. I'm bummed that he's no longer on the show. And I mean, I don't know anything about the new guy. I've just seen him in a couple of scenes, but
he hasn't really done much. Be a doctor.
It's not really a character that they're using very much. And when you think about it, without Lexi being there, with him not being with Abby anymore, he's just kind of the doctor, you know,
right.
other than Nate.
All he's been doing is doctor stuff.
But it's
sad
because Abby and Cameron were on a good track, I thought. And all of a sudden they break him up and then Skylar's gone. I'm like, what happened behind the scenes?
Well, I mean,
something happened behind the scenes there. There's some kind
of wasted,
personal.
They wasted Matthew Afford and Jack Devereaux's last scene of Jack, you know, I mean, you know, Jack giving him his blessing that, you know, I think you're a good guy. I'm glad you're with my daughter. And then Jack dies, and then now they're even going to go with that. So,
yeah.
That something must have happened behind the scenes. Maybe he didn't like his airtime, or he was vocal about something, and so they backburned.
He was really good with the fans. I mean, I thought he was great with the fans.
Well, you know, if the fans like you, they're going to get rid of you. So,
if you really like an actor, if you really enjoy an actor, you know, they're going to get rid of them if the fans were.
If you like a couple, do not tweet about it. If you
if you like an actor or an actress,
don't let anybody know that you like them. In fact, the ones that you hate, those are the ones that you should say that you like.
You like.
It's reverse psychology.
I like that idea.
I'm starting to figure this out.
Who wants to start the dance?
That's the way Corday's mind works, and Tomlin, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to jump in line as the number one Danifer fan there ever was. Yeah.
Let's keep them on.
We really love them.
We'll
break them up.
Spam the comment line with the... our love for Danifer and, that's funny.
Ken Corday's a little delusional when it comes to so-called couples he thinks are popular.
Well, they break up all their super couples. Oh, and you guys were talking about the whole Peter Reckle thing and Bo being upstairs or across town or at the pub or at the coffee shop or went out to mail a letter or something like that. I think he's upstairs with somebody tweeted you were also talking about Cassie, but he's upstairs with Cassie taking a nap because isn't that the last scene that Cassie had? He was going upstairs at the pub. We've never seen again. But I think they're holding on to Bo, just keeping him in town in case Peter Reckle, they do work something else. They broke up Jack and Jennifer. They broke up Steve and Kayla. Kim and Shane are off somewhere, maybe together. Who knows? But all of those super couples from the 80s and early 90s, they've kind of destroyed. So I think they're trying to hold on to Bo and Hope without destroying them. But if Peter Reckle doesn't come back, I don't know how long they're going to be able to hold on to that because, you know, he is a main character and Hope can only cover for him so long. I mean, they had Hope on webcam to be at the Horton tree trimming ceremony because they were wherever with Belle and Sean. You know, you can't do that forever. But I guess you can. You know, they did the same thing with Mickey Horton earlier.
Oh, yes.
Where he was everywhere else. And then they recast him with
John Engel.
What's his name? And then there was that another guy. Yeah. That never worked out. So then they just eventually had Mickey pass, you know, off screen. But I don't think they'll be able to do that long with Bo. But the fans aren't going to react very well if they destroy Bo and Hope, I don't think. But Christian Alfonso deserves a story. She deserves something other than just pimping everybody else. She deserves her own story.
I agree. And especially after she has came out with that book this week with Crystal Chappelle's bashing of her. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
She's still bashing her?
She wrote a whole chapter to her book.
Yeah.
Oh.
To bashing Christian.
Yeah, actually, I did read it yesterday.
You read it, interesting, Jerry?
Yeah, I finished reading it. It only took about 2 hours. It's about 120 pages, double-spaced.
I haven't gotten a chance. Yeah, I read part of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had a crazy life. And I feel bad for her.
Sounds like she's still crazy. Or still
delusional. She found out her older brother had a different father. Her mother was a single mom until she met her dad. And then they got married and had Crystal and then her younger brother. her parents were basically flipping houses, and she went to 11 different schools. And at one of the schools, she met her first husband, and that was I'll get to the marriage part later. At the age of 2, her mother's younger brother molested her for 6 years, from 2 to 8. She eventually told her mother later on, and her mother just didn't want to hear about it, and they never talked about it again. And at 13, Crystal was babysitting, and the 50-year-old father was groping her and actually taking her to clubs. She said she looked older than her age, but obviously he still knew that she was too young and underage, and he was married with kids. And she told her mother, and her parents were actually friends with this guy, and her mother, you know, marched off to this guy and said, "Don't you dare touch my daughter again." And the guy and his family promptly moved away. And she said her father never really said anything about it, but she thinks it's because he felt awful because he was so chummy with this guy that he had no idea this guy was molesting her daughter. Looking his daughter. So that was really sad, and I feel sorry for her. And I know people with stories like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have parents that really aren't looking out for you and trusting you with, you know, trusting you, putting you in the presence of people who are molesters. Because it turns out her uncle had a history of doing this. She wasn't the only child in that family that got molested by him.
Well, that's certainly sad. I mean, that's certainly not. But, I mean, the bashing Christian and all that, there's no excuse for that, in my opinion. I mean, I feel bad for her on some of the other stuff, but there's obviously she's not, I mean, and I'm not judging. She's obviously not the most stable person in the world to write this book and do this. And it would have been nice if she'd kept it to her story and not been unprofessional and unclassy and, you know, accused other people of things that, you know, I mean, obviously she's saying it from her point of view, but the facts don't bear out a lot of it. So it's a shame. I mean, I don't want to sound uncompassionate because I'm compassionate for anybody who has a situation like that. But there are a lot of people walking around that have had things happen to them that don't go
out.
That's
no excuse for what.
Yeah.
Right. Can't use that as an excuse all the time.
Yeah. Basically, she's charging
that kind of
people
behavior.
Basically charge people $9 to have her gossip about Christian. And the stuff against Christian is so vague. She said that the first 6 months they all got along fine, her, Christian, and Peter. And then she just kind of said all of a sudden Christian stopped talking to her, and then Peter wouldn't talk to her in front of Christian because he was saying that Christian would get mad if he talked to Crystal. And she said that Corday was giving her all the credit for the ratings going up. And then she claimed the ratings were at a 4 or 5 year high about 6 months into her run, which I don't remember that at all. So I think we all remembered the ratings were that high. You know, I mean,
the ratings haven't been high in years.
I know. That's why I didn't get her what she was saying about that at all. And then things started going down. I guess people were saying to her that she was becoming too much of a threat to Beau and Hope, and that's why maybe Christian was getting upset. But then I hear stuff like there's rumors out there that, I mean, just from watching Twitter and stuff, Crystal was all gung-ho on Carvo, but in the book she's kind of denying it, making it seem like, oh, that was just a storyline, and, you know, she was just going along with it, and, you know, she didn't really, she knew that both was the end game all along, and I don't get that. From seeing her tweets, though, I don't get that she ever thought, to me, she never gave up on Carvo, and always thought they should be together, so I really don't believe her on that part of the book. And then the reading started going down, and she said Corday blamed her and demanded that she get less airtime. She said Gary Tomlin was basically her BFF the entire time, and he said he was fighting for her, and he threatened to quit if they fired her. But I think they fired Tomlin before they fired Crystal. But Crystal knew the writing was on the wall. And then she claimed she didn't know she was fired to her last day, and that's really not true either. And but she mentions in the book several people warned her, you know, you're coming to an end here. And even the storyline was pretty obvious. She's gone off to Europe with her long-lost son. It was kind of obvious they were writing her off the show.
And she probably got that script like 2 weeks in advance. So I'm not sure why she didn't realize that was her last day. That doesn't make much sense to me. And then and I think she claimed she tried to talk to Christian in her dressing room to work it out, and Christian just wasn't interested. So the whole thing just sounds really vague. Because she made it seem like the only reason Christian didn't like her was jealousy. And that Carbo was getting more popular than Bope. And I don't get that. And I follow Christian on Twitter, too, and I actually have never seen a negative tweet from Christian at all. Or I actually don't see her pushing Bope or pushing anybody. I mean, she's usually just saying, hey, I'm at the gym today, or hey, thanks for the food, or whatever you sent in today, and, you know, tweeting pictures of her and Peter or her and Melissa and Louise. I've never really seen her push an agenda on Twitter at all. You know, she's kind of like, you know, kind of an opposite of Crystal. He's always kind of pushing something. So it just doesn't. And I've said this before, so I've never heard a negative rumor about Christian Alfonso. So, and I have heard rumors about Crystal on other shows too, that she's been a problem on other shows. So, and just seeing how Crystal acts on Twitter, and yeah, I got a little fight with her on Twitter. That was an accident and everything. But oh, and she also blamed the Bope fans and said they were causing fights with her fans. So, and I have to say the Carbo fans are the nastiest fans I've seen on Twitter. And I've actually never had a problem with any of the Bope fans. And I like Bope back in the 80s, but I really didn't particularly care for them this time around. So, but, yeah, so the book was pretty decent until the last chapter. It just didn't make any sense to me. I didn't really buy what she was selling with all the Christian bashing, and that Christian was just that mean to her. And because from what I heard back then at that time, Christian and Peter weren't getting along, and that maybe Crystal was brought in to give Christian and Peter a break from each other, you know, separate them, give them a different storyline, you know, give them a break, you know, let them cool down and cool off. And I got the impression Christian and Peter were welcoming a triangle storyline just to give them something new to do. So, you know, I didn't get the impression that Christian was against this triangle. So, anyway, that's basically the gist. And there's her first marriage. She basically married a high school sweetheart, and he was still hung up on an ex-girlfriend. And this is so awful. He confesses on her honeymoon that he kissed this other girl. And so that killed their honeymoon. And then on her first anniversary, he said, oh, well, it was more than that, we were making out. And on her second anniversary, he said, oh, well, she went down on me. And then on the fifth anniversary, he said, oh, yeah, actually, we had sex. So I thought, so that was really bizarre. And then eventually, you know, Crystal had an affair with Michael Sabatino, and Crystal and Michael actually ended up leaving their spouses on the same day, which she said was a coincidence. And then her ex actually did marry his other woman that he was hung up on all those years. So, yeah, it's kind of odd. And she mentioned having postpartum with depression with both her sons. The Kim Zimmer thing, I just wanted to say this, but some people are not mentioning that she said Kim Zimmer was kind of having issues with Crystal working with Robert Newman, but she does say that they've become friends afterwards because basically Crystal stood up to her. And I guess Kim Stir, oh, I like you, but you don't put up with my shit. So I just wanted to say that because people are leaving out the fact that Kim and Robert and Crystal are all now friends. I just thought people were just talking about their spat and not talking about how they're all friends now. So I wanted to clear that up. So, yeah, so that's pretty much the book. Hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I just thought it was odd that she said in the 90s that there was no rivalry between her and Deidre, which we all heard the opposite.
Well, my problem is, I mean, everybody views things from their own prism and all that, their own perspective, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I just think, you know, when you know that there's certain things that are absolutely factually wrong and not true or whatever, you know, it like kind of colors everything else too. Like, okay, maybe in her world this stuff is true, but we know some of it we out and out saw with our own eyes. And so if she's twisting stuff like that, then it would make me question a lot of the other stuff too. I'm not saying they're all of it, but I'm just saying, I'm just thinking, I don't know that I'd want to waste, I don't know. I mean, I know it only took a couple hours to get through, but I'm thinking, I'm curious, but at the same time, how much of it's even true, and why give somebody that kind of attention when, they've devoted an entire chapter to bashing someone that has never fought back, has always been classy, whatever, mm-hmm. Happened, whatever was directed at her, she always responded in a classy way or didn't respond at all. So to devote mm-hmm. a whole chapter makes it seem like she's got a real axe to grind with Christian. And I just think, okay, share your story, share your childhood, share all this other stuff. But that doesn't excuse, I mean, I feel bad for anybody who's had a bad childhood or whatever, but that doesn't excuse, some of the other stuff. And it certainly makes you wonder, like, if she's playing the victim on X, Y, and Z angles, then who's to say she's not playing the victim on all these other angles, too? And maybe some of that's true, and maybe some of it's just her perspective based on her, I don't know. I don't know. The cover alone would turn me off, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's just, the whole thing with Christian, and, she didn't mention Nelson bashing Christian on Twitter, and Crystal was encouraging her fans to egg him on and to give him love. I think that's what she said. She tweeted her fans to send Nelson love while he was tweeting that Christian's anorexic and all this other nasty stuff. And she didn't mention that. Oh, and Nelson, I remember this. He did a blind item talking about an actress changing scripts and changing the dialogue, changing writing, and everybody actually kind of felt bad. Was jumping on Allison Sweeney and saying she was doing that. Crystal says in the book it was Christian, and that Christian was actually changing dialogue on Crystal's script, and I guess Crystal stood up to her. The crew was like, ooh,
Your phone's breaking up, Carrie. I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Basically, Nelson's blind item, everybody assumed it was Allison Sweeney changing scripts, writing on scripts, and now we know for sure that Crystal was leaking stuff to Nelson, and it was Christian Alfonso writing on scripts. I clearly remember that blind item.
Who's to say that's true? Just because she's leaking something to Nelson doesn't mean that that's factual, and that's where I'm coming from. Why does this woman have any credibility at all, in my opinion? I don't know. That's just me.
You can't sit there and play the victim when you're obviously feeding information to Nelson. Because,
right.
I mean, she's mentioning stuff that were blind items on his webpage.
Uh-huh. Well, we know that they leaked stuff to him because he basically outed himself a few times where he's like, I was at lunch with so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and then a few hours later, he leaks these blind items. They're like, gee, I wonder where you got those, Nelson, Like, whatever. Transparency, okay.
Yeah, that wasn't too smart of him. I remember that. Yeah, but he tweeted the picture. He went to lunch with Crystal
and Molly
Burnett.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think maybe Nadia, too.
And
then
Nadia.
A few hours later, he started tweeting blind items.
Yeah, it's like, hello. About the show. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I wonder where
you got
that information, Nelson.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So
I don't care. I was really disappointed in Michael Fairman's glowing review of her stuff, too. I just thought, wow, I thought he had a little more, I don't know. I guess I don't care enough to really look into it too much, but it just makes me sad to think that somebody can come out and say that kind of stuff and, I don't know. Why? What's the point? Do you ever want to work again, Crystal? Come on. I mean, seriously. who would want to work with, I don't know, I just...
I mean, it's time to get over it. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
Well,
it's been a few years now.
Let's be honest. If you're in that business for long enough, probably every actor has experienced mm-hmm. on one end or the other of the same kind of drama, if not more. But it seems like she creates a lot of her drama. No pun intended. Since she's on a drama, but I mean, it sounds like a lot of things are, she's drawn to a lot of it or creates a lot of it herself too. Because
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things I've heard too, and they don't necessarily match up. You know, I don't know. I just think that for as little as I'm invested in this actor to begin with, I mean, I don't really care that much either way. I just hate it when you hear somebody coming out and bad-mouthing people still after all this time. I mean, it's not even like she's, you know, fighting for her job right now or anything like that, but I just think it's I don't know. It just is really disturbing to me to see somebody want to do that. I don't know. It's just...
They're trying to make more a soap opera more than the soap opera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and at the expense of somebody's reputation, professional and personal reputation. I mean, fine, tell your own story, but you know what? There's enough evidence there that what she's saying isn't always like factual or whatever. It might be according to her reality, but it's not necessarily what happened. You know, so I'm not saying she's necessarily purposely lying. It just maybe is the way she sees it, but she's not really seeing it as we've seen some of it play out in black and white. So, and what we know of behind the scenes as well. So it's just, I don't know. I just think it's like, what was the point in her spending a whole chapter bashing someone, anyone? I mean, tell your story, talk about your own life, you know, whatever, but why is there a need to do that? Well, obviously to sell books, and that just really, to me, is very unprofessional, not classy at all, and, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of actors in that business that could write memoirs and stories and bash people, and, you know, and there's people, I mean, we're close to people in the business that have all kinds of stories from like the 80s, but then they make up with the people later and now they're good friends and everything. And so it's water under the bridge to them, you know,
mm-hmm.
and whatever. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's just,
Yeah. And it's actually, this isn't even really a book. It's self-published and it's just a PDF file really. And like I said, it only took me 2 hours to read it. It's not really a book. I was kind of disappointed. I mean, it's 90% her non-soap life.
Yeah.
But she really didn't talk that much about some of the soaps she was on. I mean, she talked about glowingly about Olivia Spencer in Otalia.
Yeah.
And
that's
even,
fine.
There's even just at least 5 pages of fan letters about Otalia. And it's like, it seemed like that was kind of filler. But, I mean, I understand she's making a point that it helped a lot of... lesbians, the storyline, that they really appreciated that storyline. But it kind of came off as filler, that she's just trying to stretch the book out a little bit more. But
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she had a ghostwriter or something, the book would have a little bit more substance to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, she talks about seeing a therapist, and she's been to a therapist for a while and all that, and I just can't see her therapist saying, yeah, go stab another knife in the back of Kristen Alfonso and Ken Cordae.
Oh, I know. That's the part that I find so, of all the stuff, that's the most, you know.
I mean, she would say, you know, if she would have ended it like, hey, you know, what happened, and I'm moving on, and I don't have any hard feelings anymore. But it doesn't come off that way. It kind of comes off like, oh, I still hate that bitch. So, you know, I don't know. And she really doesn't mention anybody else in Days at all either. It seems like Peter Reckle was kind of whipped by Christian. And she's talking about Gary Tomlin.
Oh, I see.
Loves
what?
Her.
I thought you said by Crystal. No, whatever.
Oh. But the book was actually pretty good until the Christian bashing in the last chapter. But, you know, if you want to read the book, go for it. You know, she's had a pretty eventful life, I guess you could say. But as far as the Day stuff, I pretty much told you what happened. So
yeah, well, obviously that part was put into, I don't know, sensationalize and whatever. But I just think, you know, you got to look at this other person still has a career and still working. And, you know, I don't know. I just think it lacked class, bottom line. I mean, you know, I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure 90% of the actors out there could probably write a book and blast people too, but they don't.
Yeah.
You know? You know, so.
Whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
Glad you shared with us what
you
read.
Yeah. So, I have my take on it, and I can't wait for all the nasty tweets coming in my direction, but whatever. It doesn't bother. It honestly doesn't bother me. This is my show. I state my opinion. People don't like it. You don't have to listen to it. It's
and you're
optional.
Pretty fair. You're actually nicer than I thought you were going to be about it. Because personally, I wouldn't be as nice as you're being about it.
I'm honest. I feel awful about her childhood. I know people who have had a childhood like that. Her first marriage, basically, she was just escaping her parents.
Yeah.
And,
a lot of people
Yeah, and I know people have done that, too. They got married right out of high school just to get away from their parents. And, you know, and actually her first husband was very supportive of her acting, and I thought that was nice. And she mentioned she went to college, she tried to get into journalism, and I always thought her eyes were weird, and it turns out she does have a lazy eye. So that's why her eyes do seem kind of funky on the show. And she said that's why she didn't pursue journalism, because she knew she could never read a teleprompter on camera, because basically one eye follows the teleprompter and her other eye would stay still. That's why she got into acting, and I guess she's always been pretty successful at it. She was in a high school play. She tried out, got the lead, and then it was like, you know, every time she tried out for something in her adult life, she got it. She mentioned her I can't remember what the first soap was she was on, but Maurice Bernard was in it, and I guess the director was giving her a hard time. And Maurice actually stood up for her and told him to back off as she was getting close to breaking, because he was yelling at her so bad. And she was on Santa Barbara for a week and was killed off. And she was talking about great things about A. Martinez and Marcy Walker. And then that's when she got Dave. And she does mention in the 90s she was very egotistical. And she said a lot of that, too, was kind of she was masking insecurity, which makes sense, because a lot of people who are egotistical really are insecure. And I think she was saying basically a lot of people have a perception of her that maybe she's egotistical, but it's kind of more of a self-doubt, and it's being interpreted in a certain way. And I understood that, too. So, and yes, there's some interesting things. And then she talked about her one character, one of the soaps, where she was a nun who was into circus performing, so I didn't understand. I missed that role. But I think it was was that One Life or As It Returns? I can't remember, but that was kind of bizarre. One Life, yeah. And she said she couldn't juggle to save her life, and they kept trying to teach her to juggle, and she couldn't do it. So I'm not sure what moron came up with that storyline, but that was pretty funny. I mean, you're reading that, and she's so serious about it. And I'm like, this could not have actually happened with a soap, but it was true.
Yeah.
She was a nun who wanted to teach people how to be circus performers. So, yeah. But, like I said, the rest of the book was actually pretty positive, considering what she's been through. And then basically, the book would have been okay except for the last chapter. I guess that's the best way to put it. So, yeah. Well, it's almost midnight. I guess we should be wrapping it up soon. Does anybody else have anything else they want to mention before we wrap it up?
I don't think so.
No. Not really.
Well, okay, I'll wrap it up. And I think, Amanda, you've been awesome. Thanks for calling in. Please call back again sometime. And
no,
David. Yay, thanks for taking my dare and coming on and calling. And SJ,
sorry
we
great having you guys.
Yeah, and SJ for calling in. And sorry, I don't know if you dropped off or you, the show dropped you off, but please call in too. I love hearing from you. Or
yeah.
Wiki Days, SJ. So,
yeah, all right. So we'll be back next week. Next week we're going to have all that Nick and Gabby wedding drama and all the celebrity drama too.
I just want to see their wives imploded.
It'll be fun. So, I'm going to say hi to Meg in the chat room, too, if she's still there. I'm going to start talking. I forget to look in the chat room.
Oh, okay.
Yay!
Oh, and I wanted to make sure to follow at Lauren Coslow on Twitter and check out her Facebook page, her fan club Facebook page, Lauren Coslow Fan Club. And lots of great pictures and conversation and everything. And she rocks. So anyway, love
you. Yep, she rocks.
You can also follow Cosy Hooch if you want, but, shameless plug.
Yeah.
And Marianne @mama_hooch. I don't know where Marianne's on, but.
Okay. We'll see you guys next week.
We'll see you.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.